excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Maryland edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford, and for the first time, I'm not reporting to you on the day of the game. Between travel and visiting with my brother and things like that, I just was not able to get the podcast done Saturday afternoon / evening. So originally my plan was to do it while waiting at the airport, and therefore I could legitimately claim it was still on the road home. However, I couldn't find my audio recorder, and therefore it's been put off till Monday morning in my morning commute into the office. So you will get my normal off-the-cuff answers as I'm still driving, but not really on the way home from the game. Nevertheless, on to the debacle. So let's start with the obvious. 3-hour time difference, 9 a.m. game Pacific time, humid, warm day. Anyone who denies that that made a difference is lying, or they're just naive. And I don't think any of the players or coaches are naive. I just think they're not willing to concede that that's the reason, because they don't want to give any excuses. They want to say they should have been able to win, irrelevant of that. And Jahvid Best was the one person who actually said it that way, that, look, it doesn't matter if that was the reason. We should have won, and that's not an excuse. Was it an actual reason? Yes, it was. Should the Bears have traveled earlier? I'm not so sure on that. I think that they should have been more concerned with is getting a game time later in the day, at least noon Pacific, so that it wasn't so early. But actually, I think the far bigger factor was not the time, but the heat and the humidity. I walked around the stadium to take pictures at 9 o'clock in the morning their time, so 6 a.m. Pacific. And I was sweating bullets by the time I finished kind of walking around it. And I'm not talking about jogging the steps or anything like that. I'm just talking about, oh, that would be a good spot to take a picture from and slowly make my way over there. It was very humid that day. I was back east all week. It was not nearly as humid the rest of the week. We had rain come through Friday night, and that really upped the humidity. And then it was a kind of a muggy, warm day on Saturday with very high humidity, and I really think that hurt the Bears far worse than they're willing to admit, and really I think that was the factor that had them looking so sluggish. Also unspoken in there is underestimating the team. The term that I heard other reporters using was, did they look the same on film as they did in person? Did they play better in person than on film? And the answer universally was, oh yeah, they played a ton better. Now, whether that's explicitly underestimating your opponent is unclear, but it does mean that you have an expectation when you come in about how hard you're going to get hit, how hard it's going to be to move out of the way or slide off a tackle or what have you. And when that doesn't match up with reality, it takes you a little time to adjust. And probably on its own, that wouldn't have been a problem. I mean, it would have meant a couple series. They would have been sluggish to start. But when you add in the humidity and then it's that much harder to get your emphasis up, I really think that those two factors of Maryland not playing well to start the season, so they looked weaker on film than they actually were, and the humidity with the heat were the defining characteristics that had Cal playing below their performance level. So let's talk about what that means for future weeks. So, I mean, because all of those things, in theory, should have zero effect on Colorado State 2 weeks from now. So what is there in the game that we can say, okay, this is a problem that is going to be an issue for the rest of the season? For me, I think the number one thing is this was the first team that shut down the Cal running game, where passing the ball was actually an important component of the game. And the Bears did not look all that sharp, particularly Riley. Now, Riley's problem was not decision-making. He made good decisions, minus a couple minor, you know, he could have run in that situation as opposed to passing the ball type of things. But overall, his decision-making was good. The interception, although not a well-thrown ball like Tedford asserts, it was actually a poorly thrown ball that would have been difficult for the receiver even if he hadn't have slipped. But it wouldn't have been an interception. He probably would have just had a difficult time bringing it in, would have really stretched for it. But nevertheless, that interception was not a bad decision. It was just a slightly errant ball coupled with the receiver falling down. But the rest of the game, as I said, minus a couple minor nitpicks, he made good decisions. What he had problems with was airmailing the ball. Was that because he isn't as accurate as we hoped? Or was it the humidity having an effect on his ability to grip the ball? I'm not quite sure, but I will say that it's not as worrisome to me as I think it could be, and I think that's because perhaps the conditions made him airmail it more than he would otherwise, because generally he's a pretty accurate passer. So, but I think it is something we still need to keep our eyes out for. Riley still is very young, he's still learning, and he threw a lot of balls that were generally high, and then sometimes he overcompensated and dug one or two into the ground. His accuracy was not great. His mobility was good. He evaded a lot of sacks that Longshore would have been throwing the ball away, to be clear. Longshore didn't get sacked, but it's because when that situation was coming, he would throw the ball and get rid of it. But nevertheless, Riley was able to hold on a little bit longer and evade the tacklers. And a couple times he got sacked, but not an unduly number of times for the game. And that's the risk you take when you say, I'm going to hold a little longer because I think something might open up, as opposed to just throwing the ball away ahead of time, which is what Longshore would do. You're going to take a couple more sacks, but you're also going to get a few more passing opportunities, particularly after you evade, than you would have before. So Riley wasn't sharp, no doubt about that. How were the receivers? This I'm not so clear about. It didn't feel to me like they were doing a really bad job of running routes. I don't have a great sense of it, but I think it is something we should watch for the future. You know, you can blame it on the young receivers not running good routes, but unless you can actually look and see them not running the routes they should be and not recognizing the situations they should be, it's hard to blame it on them. And I didn't feel like I was seeing a lot of that, of not doing the right things to get separation. Maryland was using a number of schemes that were confusing Riley, and he admitted as much. And I think really that has more to do with why he was having trouble than anything else. But again, another thing to keep an eye out for moving forward is, are the receivers continuing to run good routes, or do they need to run better routes, or what's the story there? Defensively, I think actually the Bears played just fine. When I look at the final numbers, I didn't say that's a horrible performance. Yes, there were a couple too many big plays. I think if there's one area to complain, they gave up a couple too many big run plays. The real killer was that one in the fourth quarter where the Bears kind of looked like they might be clawing their way back into it, and they let them bust off a big run down to the 1 yard line. But I mean, in the big scheme of things, that doesn't bother me as much. They definitely weren't hitting as hard as they could, and I attribute that to the conditions. But I really think the 3-4 is fundamentally sound, with one possible exception that I saw too much of in this game, and I fear that as defenses look at film, they're going to figure this out. It will confuse quarterbacks who aren't ready for it, but won't confuse those who are ready for it. And what it is they're using their inside linebackers to cover slot receivers in certain instances. You know, normally they will take the outside linebacker and set him just a little bit wide so it's not clear whether he's rushing the passer or whether he's going to fall back into coverage. And then they'll have him drop back, or they'll have the safety come up and play on the slot receiver. In this case, however, what they were doing is they'd leave the safety back, so he really wasn't a coverage option. They'd rush the outside linebacker, confusing the offensive line a little bit, and then they'd have Warwell Williams shoot out to that guy. Now, if he was running a slant pattern or an in pattern of some sort, it would work if the inside linebacker didn't over-pursue to get to the outside. There were one or two instances where they were running so fast to get to the outside that when the receiver cut in, they couldn't turn around and come back with them quick enough. And there was a big reception up the middle along those lines. But that one, I think, was just an adjustment that the linebackers had to get used to, and actually their coverage would have been okay if they had played it right. The one that was more troubling, however, was the out patterns, because with the out patterns, the inside linebacker was just way too far away. He had to make up 15 yards of separation, most of it lateral separation, before the ball got there. And either the linebackers weren't breaking soon enough, they were supposed to be breaking, you know, a second or two before the snap, or it's just a bad scheme. It's not going to work. And I don't know, but I saw a bit too much of that. It might be a nice gimmick play on occasion, but I saw a lot of it, and that worries me a bit. It's not a problem when it's the tight end, but when it's a slot receiver, when you're playing a true spread team that's going to put a lot of slot receivers out there, you have to cover that guy with your outside linebacker or a safety, at least for the norm. You can stunt and do some unusual things to keep the quarterback on his toes, but if you're consistently doing that, it's a very exposable situation and one that I think will really hurt the Bears once teams look at film and see that they're doing that regularly. I didn't notice this in previous games, but I wasn't looking for it, so I can't say how consistently they've been using this scheme, but it's not a good one in my opinion, and we'll see if they keep using it moving forward. Maybe it was an experiment for this week, and after this week they won't be using it anymore. Otherwise, I saw nothing out of the defense that really troubled me. I think their fundamentals were sound. The conditions were having them not hit as hard as they should, which was a real important factor in the 3-4. And then a couple of these coverage scheme issues that I think are very correctable. So in the big picture, they don't worry me a ton. A couple of players who I thought played really well on defense, despite the condition, was Tyson Alulu. He was manning his position, getting pressure, doing all the things he needed to do. And then particularly in the second half, Zach Follett. In fact, almost all the plays were going away from him late in the game because they knew that that was the side you didn't want to pressure. At the same time, players who were not doing that well was Rulon Davis. He had a very mediocre game and did not perform all that well. And the nose guard position as a whole, I don't understand what was going on, but Derek Hill played very little of the game. They were playing a lot of other guys at that spot, and I'm not sure what the story was, but it was not looking as good as Derek Hill had been looking in the past. I don't know if the weather had him cramping up a lot or what the story was. That was probably a question I should have asked in post-game interviews, but never really occurred to me during the press conference, which is always a struggle. So overall, obviously, a very disappointing performance. The score does not properly reflect how thoroughly beaten the Bears were, and a far superior team lost to a far weaker team because they weren't ready to play and were really hindered by the conditions, and then made a bunch of little mistakes. The upside here is that there's no more games like this on the calendar. It's all back to very comfortable scenarios that they've all traveled to before when it's a road game or at home. We're not going to see that type of situation again. So the question is, how good are the Bears when they play a good team? Because both MSU and particularly WSU are looking pretty mediocre right now. So I don't know what you're supposed to make of that, but really, I think it comes down to Arizona State. Colorado State should not prove to be a problem, yes, even after this week performance, because they have experience with them last year, they know how hard they hit, they know what they're capable of, which is enough to keep them on their toes, particularly after a loss. The good news here is the attitude of the players after the game was the right attitude. No excuses, so they weren't saying, oh, we would have won if it weren't for the stupid weather, which is the type of thing that would make them not try hard in the next coming couple weeks before the next game. They were making no excuses. They were talking about how many mistakes they made. They were talking about how capable they are to correct those mistakes and how much better football they can play. These are all things that, in my opinion, are the right answers to a game like that. And now they've got 2 weeks to really refocus. And when they were asked about whether it was a good thing that they had a bye, that was the generic answer was, yep, it's a great chance for us to get back on track, to refocus, to spend a lot of time looking at film and our mistakes and see where we can improve, and all of that type of stuff. So I really expect the Bears to learn from this experience, and I also expect them not to be in as difficult of a position condition-wise for the rest of the season. The difficult part moving forward is the Bears have yet to play a good team. And so the game everyone needs to circle on their calendar is Arizona State, because that's the first team the Bears are going to play that's a similar caliber team to what the Bears are talent-wise and coaching-wise. And they're going to have to play a really good game to win, even though I think Arizona State is the most overranked team perhaps in the country, but definitely in the Pac-10. We'll see when Arizona State plays Georgia just how right I am about that. I mean, I guess I could be wrong. I think that about wraps up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. I do have audio from interviews with Coach Tedford and a number of the players, so continue listening for that. Otherwise, you will hear from me on the way home from the Colorado State game in 2 weeks, as well as podcasts with Jason and Phil, and my practice podcasts, which are posted over at BearTerritory.net. Thank you for listening.
Didn't start fast enough. I thought we had opportunities that we didn't capitalize on. Too many penalties, lack of attention to detail in certain areas where we had penalties when we made plays. Had some things called back. Didn't stop the run. Gave them some big plays, obviously, there. And so they outplayed us today, plain and simple. But the great thing is there's a lot of lessons to be learned. And one game doesn't make the season. And I feel really confident that we'll go back this next week and we'll watch these things and we'll learn from these things. And we'll have a great week of preparation to get ready for Colorado State. Again, it comes down to discipline. It comes down to details. You got to fill your gap. You can't jump inside when you're supposed to play outside and turn things back inside, let them have the sideline. Things like that. That, you know, they're going to see on tape that if you just do your job, then it gives us a chance to let everyone else do their job. So, good news is, thank you. Good news is a lot of lessons we learned there. No, I don't think it had anything to do with Coast to Coast. I really don't. It had nothing to do with it. You know, there are no excuses whatsoever about coming east. It's got nothing to do with it. We prepared well. We stuck to a plan. Our kids were up this morning, focused, ready to go. No excuses about that. He got hurt on that play. That limited him a little bit. He bruised his sternum. And, you know, he's a tough kid. He kept coming back in and playing. But we just didn't open up very many holes for him today. We didn't dominate the line of scrimmage. Coming in, we talked about it all starts up front. We got beat up front offensively and defensively, both in the pass rush and in the run game. They just play more physical than we do. I'd have to say that you looked at them on tape and you knew that they had a lot of ability. I don't think the first 2 weeks they played to their potential. I think they had a light lit under them after last week, and they were very focused this week, as were we coming in. But we got behind early. We got to the red zone. We just couldn't score touchdowns, and that's a problem. We can't settle for field goals, and we missed the field goal at the end of the half. Defense did a nice job early in the second half, kind of holding them for a minute, and then they made a nice throw and catch to their big receiver. Sid had great coverage, and he just went up and made a great catch on it. You know, and then when you get behind like that, you know, you're playing catch-up, and you're dealing with the clock issues and so on and so forth. Well, I think some of the receivers had a chance to get some action today and catch the balls, which is nice. We had a couple blown assignments out there. Situation where we lined up two guys on the line of scrimmage, blown route going in the end zone. You know, so there's some growing pains there. And the key is that we learn from those. And, you know, so it comes down to communication and making sure they understand what they're doing. And, you know, but I was happy to see someone made some plays. They had some balls, some of them, they caught some balls. And that's going to go a long way as we progress. Third down's key. Yeah, they were converting third down, and we weren't. And ours is in the red zone, you know, and you just can't live like that. We haven't been good enough on third down, and today was a test, and we didn't do a good job of passing the test today on third down. They said that they were reviewing it. We called timeout right then. Probably should have called. I was gonna call timeout then anyway. Probably should have used a challenge there because I would have lost a timeout anyhow. We're gonna call one, but they said no, it wouldn't matter because they're reviewing it anyway up there. So I didn't see it. Obviously, that's way down there, and I can't see. You know, I don't have a sideline view of it at the goal line, so I couldn't tell what was going on. As long as you have a timeout available, you can challenge. I think it's really good that we have a bye week coming up right now. It gives a great opportunity to study. We got a little bit banged up today. Both Javid and Shane got hurt today. And so, going to give them a chance to get healthy. Cam had a hard time breathing today, and so we had to hold him out a little bit in the second half, Cameron Moore. But besides that, I think we're fairly healthy. But I think a week right now to kind of regroup and really focus on how we can improve is critical for us. Shane had an ankle sprain. Well, you always would like to create a little momentum in the beginning, and they had all the momentum. Obviously, the interception, it wasn't anything Kevin did. It was a great throw. The receiver just fell down. And, so we weren't able to get on the field yesterday because it was raining, so we had to practice out here. And so, the footing was a little tricky, really, and Sean fell down. And the guy was in perfect position to make a play. But anytime you get behind like that, we didn't panic. We felt like we still had opportunities to come back. But we got down in the red zone. We moved the ball fine a lot of times. We got in the red zone and couldn't score touchdowns. And that's the key. Well, there were a few times where it made little difference, you know. But, hey, it is what it is. It's not an excuse. If you're fundamentally sound and you don't have your weight on your heels, then you don't slip. And so, you know, we need to do a better job of making sure that our fundamentals and our techniques and route running and everything else is correct. No. Practice on grass all week. You know, the field was fine today. You know, it was a little soft from the rain, but it's no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. The only thing we can't do now is go undefeated. It's one game. No, we'll have to go back and look at it. Looked like some of the guys were getting calls. At the last second, they were looking at the wristband and didn't get out there. The tempo wasn't bad. They weren't fast-paced. I think they were only fast-paced one time when they rushed the line of scrimmage and ran a toss around the outside. But the pace was not anything.
Yeah, I mean, they did a decent job. There's probably a couple times where I could have fit them. But, they had a good plan. It's not the same team you'd see on film, and we knew that coming in they were going to be a better team. You know, they came out ready to play and we did.
Sluggish start, the heat, the travel, the Maryland wasn't good the first 2 days. Any of that stuff play into your guys' start for that?
Maybe. I mean, I know a lot of guys weren't expecting this weather.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was the most I've sweated in my life. You could hear my shoes gushing from the water. But, I mean, it really basically came down to us not being ready. And we had our chances three times, I think, inside the 10. Didn't score once. I mean, it was all on us. They're a good team, but we made way too many mistakes.
It seems like you had some indecision, particularly early on when to run and when to kind of wait to see if a player opened up. Anything going through your mind there on, you know, when to run?
Not really. I mean, we just tried to run our offense early on, and they made a couple good calls, and they caught us when we were trying to run a play. You know, I was looking, and I was trying to make plays, and I got to be, like I said, I got to know and throw the ball where no one to run. And there's a couple times, I think, where, you know, I threw downfield and, like, nothing happened, but there's a chance I can give, like, a positive, like, 10-yard run if I ran the ball. So. Well, he didn't get as many touches, I don't think. You know, they kind of took us out of our game. We didn't run the ball that much. And, you know, that's the thing about the run game. You could have, like, a 5-yard run, a 5-yard run, 2-yard run, but then you'll have, like, a 20-yard run. And, you know, we just didn't have one today. We were close a couple times, but, you know, started off fast. So we just gave them a big start.
Yeah, that was an audible, yeah. And then we thought we had the right position and the right play for that thing, but they read it right, and the defender came up. It just really knocked the wind out of me. I had a little trouble breathing for the rest of the game, but besides that, it was pretty cool. They loaded up the box. I mean, they played a lot of they came with a lot of blitzes, and they overloaded on the strong side. I mean, it was just hard to pick up the right guys and make them read. So we just gotta go in there, watch the film, and get better at it.
Getting off to a slow start, can be blamed on the heat or the travel. Did any of that stuff matter today? You getting off that start?
Well, I mean, even if it did matter, we can't blame it on that. So I mean, we just gotta focus in and just start fast and get our job done. Yeah, I mean, the thing about this team, we have a short memory. So even when we win, we don't linger on it too long. So this loss is going to hurt, obviously, but I think by tomorrow we'll be past and getting ready for next week. Just focus in. I mean, we made a couple of mental errors, and mental errors are things that the other team's not controlling. It's us. So, I mean, we got to stop the mistakes that we make, and then, because they're going to make plays. So when we hurt ourselves, that's what hurts us the most.
What do you think of the turf conditions here? Does that play a factor at all?
Well, personally, I love grass, so I like playing on this more than anything. But I love this game. This is a nice building. It's a great stadium.
They're a good team. They're a very good team. I mean, they ran the ball very well. They completed their third downs real well. And we certainly didn't respond, but they did a nice job. And credit to those guys. I thought we played overall probably a little bit better in the second half than we did in the first half. You know, create a turnover in the second half, got off the field a couple times. Still not good enough. Well, it's my fault. You know what? We obviously, they gave us a couple formations that we didn't play real well out of, and we got to go back and see if we're aligned right, and we need to change it. So, and that's on me. Well, I hope not. I mean, it's one loss. And
yeah.
I hope not. You know, it's a long season, and we've got a lot of football to play. And that's part of the deal. There's not a ton of teams in college football that go undefeated. So hopefully we'll learn from it and get better. And the bye week will be better for, you know, help us and all that. And we'll respond against Colorado State.
Well, I don't know. You know, you got to be able to play in all those conditions. You know, and whether it's hot or cold or whatever it is, you got to be able to play.
And that certainly wasn't. That's not the reason why we didn't win the game.
What are the top one or two things you think need to be focused on in practice starting this week?
Well, you know, I don't think we played the run real well, and I don't think we got off the field on third down like we should have. So I would say those third down defense and run defense. No, because I thought in the first half, we were covering. He had a ton of time to stand back there and convert third downs on us. On the road again.